Federal officials define housing as affordable when it costs 30% or less of a household's income. By that measure, more than 60,000 families in Ingham, Eaton, and Clinton counties do not live in affordable housing, according to recent MSU research. Housing advocates say that means tens of thousands of families in and near Lansing routinely are challenged to pay for necessities like food, clothing, medical care, and transportation. So what can be done to increase the quantity and quality of affordable housing in mid-Michigan? Let's learn more from two special guests. Catherine Draper is the executive director of the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you, Mark.
And Bob Johnson is back. He's the City of Lansing's Director of Planning and Neighborhood Development. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Mark.
Catherine, there are, both of you, there are so many factors that relate to housing, that tie into it. In layperson's terms, is there a single thing you would most like to change that would improve this situation?
Yes, I think we'd like to address the fact that we do need more affordable housing for all of our population in the Tri-County area. You know, we've been completing the five-year housing plan, and what we found is what you identified is very true, but there are other issues that also impact that. Our population is changing. You know, we have more seniors coming into housing situations that are not appropriate for them. We need smaller housing situations. We have the millennial population now, and that's a group of people who are interested in being on major transit areas, and they are more interested in renting homes than they are in owning homes. They want to be free to come and go and not be burdened down with housing costs. So
the first thing you mentioned, though, was supply. Is
yes.
supply is, would increasing the number of available units automatically bring down the price then?
Well, I think in many cases we have adequate number of houses and rental properties. It's just that they're not adequately, they're not adequate as it relates to the standards of housing. They're substandard housing conditions, and many people are forced to live in those rather than be homeless.
Bob Johnson, mm-hmm. Narrow the focus for us down to the City of Lansing here. Is the quality of affordable housing your number one issue, or how would you prioritize the number one
sure.
issue as you see it?
Right. In terms of the quality of the housing, we have the Code Enforcement Division that's located within the Fire Department to help us with the quality, answering that issue in terms of the challenge where people are being taken advantage of and they're put in the position, whether it's not just rental, but also ownership, whether it be under a land contract or whether they're attempting to purchase the house outright and committing their resources to acquire something that really needs a lot of work. So it's already upside down in terms of their ability to live in a household financial situation that they can manage, again, getting back to not exceeding 30% of their household income. It is very important to us in terms of the way in which our neighborhoods are perceived. So when it comes down to little things, it's not just the structures, as Catherine pointed out, in terms of substandard conditions. It's also the environment. What's going on with the infrastructure? What's going on with the light, and to include your streetlights, your grass, how, you know, as far as enforcing the codes on the premises, whether it be grass, trash, front yard parking, things of that nature. So it's very complicated, but the quality of affordable housing is important to what we do in Lansing.
And you would put quality ahead of quantity. Would you argue with a greater number of units available?
I think just like what Catherine pointed out, the units are out there, and quality is to me is above the quantity because the supply is there. In terms of the physical units, now the condition of those units is what is at issue here. And you have one way to really maximize profit in terms of, let's look at me as being a landlord, I can maximize my profit margin by what? Deferred maintenance. And that speaks to the quality of those units. And so I increase my return by deferring that maintenance or avoiding any maintenance at all until I'm forced to do so. And that's why, depending upon the number of units, we have either a 2 or 3 year review cycle for rental properties. And again, though, I want to point out it's not just about rental housing. It does get into folks that are looking at purchasing a home as well.
Bob Johnson is the City of Lansing's Director of Planning and Neighborhood Development. We're also joined by Catherine Draper, Executive Director of the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. Affordable housing is the topic. Catherine, you alluded to our changing population Everyone is always getting older, but there are more baby boomers relative to other segments of the population, which creates a different dynamic.
Talk to us about that. But, you know, those individuals are also going to be looking for other housing opportunities. They're finding that many of them are housed in large homes. People are transitioning into smaller homes. They want to be in core areas of cities and in even suburban areas. So I see in the future, it's been identified that really people are going to be moving to smaller quarters, and they don't need a lot of the space that they now have. I think they were impacted, you know, by the downturn in the economy, and they recognize the fact that maybe they might have been, you know, underwater on their homes or maybe spending too much of their money on those large homes and decided that it was time to downsize and look for different opportunities.
Bob, what kind of, from your point of view in the city of Lansing, what kind of affordable housing is the community most in need of? Is it single family? Is it multifamily?
Both.
Rental?
Well, yeah, I would say that we're seeing a trend whereby the affordable housing in the multifamily rental sector, it's sort of where folks can get their start. Meaning, I can qualify, say, if I'm going through a certain program, which requires income limitations on how much a household can earn. But once I qualify for that housing, I can remain in that housing if there is not an annual recertification. Having said that, what people look to do is move up and pursue the American dream. And the mayor reminds me time and time again, home ownership. I mean, it really is important. And I talk to him about quality, affordable housing in the form of rental is okay. And I tell the city council the same thing. Rental, we all were renters at one time. And so, but the segment that probably is most important to attack right now, in my opinion, is that multifamily rental segment, because that's where you have your entry level. That's where people are. That's where they gravitate towards. We talked about the financial crisis and the real estate crash of 08. And people are looking to rent. They're not necessarily looking to purchase. Having said that, there's a number of opportunities out there. There's some really affordable for-sale, owner-occupied product out there. Folks just have to be very careful in terms of the inspections.
Let's return to the quality issue, though, because you've both claimed that quality affordable housing is an important part of this challenge. How do we address the quality issue, Catherine?
I think we have to get a community involved in that. You know, we have to get the developers involved, the landlords, the renters, bring everyone to the table and develop a framework for how we're going to really address quality housing. And I think people are interested in doing that. We've done a lot of, focus groups and task force meetings with individuals to say, how do we solve some of these issues? And I think there are some models out there that we can use for the future. We can set aside a certain amount of housing and development for, let's say, 10% of that would be focused on affordable housing for low-income people when you're doing a development. We have good examples, Mark, from, I would say, Kalamazoo and Ann Arbor of trust funds that have been established to address those issues. And I think that some landlord-tenant models might be good. And if we could get a lot of those individuals involved in coming to the table together and saying, what is the standard that we would like to enforce here for individuals? The city does a great job. The inspectors do a great job. I think many of the landlords have their heart in the right place. However, we still have a lot of housing that needs to be addressed because it's just, it's just not adequate for family situations, especially larger families. We really don't have any resources for like 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom homes. You'll find a lot of 1 and 2-bedroom, mm-hmm. and we provide supportive housing at our facility, and we find that there's a lot of need for larger families to be housed and not too many opportunities for them.
You allude to the future here, though, and Catherine, in a few weeks, you will officially unveil the results of a new 5-year fair and affordable housing plan. It goes by the acronym ICE.
Yes.
For innovative, collaborative, and empowering. Without disclosing too much, I know you want to create a little hoopla here in September for this, but can you tell us about the plan? Can you share something innovative from the ICE ICE framework?
Yeah, I think some of the innovative things do center around maybe developing a real estate investment trust or increasing the housing trust fund that MSHDA has, whereby you set aside a certain amount of money in all communities for supportive and low-income housing, and not just in pockets, but in areas that are all going to be developed. Providing additional rehab resources, especially for seniors, that's going to be a serious issue in the future. So we're trying to find some resources to help seniors stay in their homes. We have one program at our agency that already does that, but we want to expand that with the help of other agencies. The city helps us with that as well, but, you know, there are other agencies that could be involved. We'd like to get businesses involved in recognizing and identifying the needs for their employees for housing around, you know, their facilities.
How, Bob, how does this play out on the ground? I mean, do you become aware of fairly desperate situations where the adequacy of housing really becomes a crisis for people?
Well, let me say this, that the adequacy of housing, we typically see it when it gets pretty far down the road, when we find out that the housing is inadequate. It's due to a social worker or a co-enforcement worker discovering deplorable conditions. That's typically what happens, because there are good opportunities out there. Now, there are reasons, why an individual or a household may not qualify. There are certain qualifications that have to be met, background checks, things of that nature, that may put them in a challenging position. And I know we're talking about Lansing-centric on this segment here, Mark, but it really is a regional issue, as Catherine's study will speak to. And it's, you think about the service jobs that are, whether it be at one of the major retail centers that are outside of the Lansing city limits, in addition to what
Eastwood or one of the malls.
The malls, exactly. And then the hospitality industry, so on and so forth. Well, you had Mr. Gu on previously in terms of Capital Area Transportation Authority. And so that piece is important, but, folks do drive their own vehicles too. So there are these burdens that challenges of getting to work if you have to depend on, say, a mass transit and then driving your own vehicle. Point is that it's a regional discussion, so I look forward to hearing the perspective of others as well in this when Catherine's report comes out. But the adequacy of the housing, we really try, when we do our in review of work through the building and construction codes, our building safety division, we review the work. We know of the work that's coming in, and we ensure we're sort of the, as opposed to the first responders, we're the first preventers in what the work we do, making sure they comply with the code. We work with the fire department, make sure it complies with the fire code, so on and so forth. But then we find out, unfortunately, sometimes afterwards, where there's been a family, a refugee family, let's say, and English is a second language, and they just don't know how to connect to us. Mm-hmm. And when we do find out, it's pretty late, it's unfortunate.
People are fearful that if they do complain, they're going to be out on the street. Mm-hmm. And so what are their alternatives? I want to address that one issue of transportation, though, because if you're living out in the Charlotte area or St. John's area, you don't have 24-hour transportation.
Right.
So you don't always have access to getting a job within the city of Lansing, and mm-hmm. you might not have the job opportunities out in those communities. Mm-hmm. So it's a situation that transportation definitely affects everything in the corridor revitalization as well.
We are eager to learn more about the ICE plan next month when it is released, and we could talk a lot longer, but we're out of time, I'm sorry to say. Catherine Draper is the executive director of the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. Bob Johnson is the City of Lansing's director of planning and neighborhood development. Many thanks and good luck.
Thank you so much,
Mark.